You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
102.3 WBAB, Long Island's only classic rock. Roger and JP, it is 8:05. Very happy to have Long Islander Chris Weidman in the studio.
Were you just playing with your nipples? Did that just happen?
It was actually right to the outer skirts of my nipples.
Oh, okay.
My pectoral muscles are a little sore.
Oh, you're
I don't have much of a pectoral muscle, but I'm trying to make them bigger by pushing into them. So
like women do, you're like pushing
them. I'm getting my cleavage going.
False advertising.
It's early in the morning. They didn't get stimulated yet. You know?
Yeah.
What was that? They have voices?
So, Chris, big UFC. UFC guy, of course. Big fights coming up at the Coliseum, which is very cool. It's the first time UFC will be at the new Nassau Coliseum Saturday, July 22nd. Tickets go on sale tomorrow, by the way, 10 o'clock in the morning. And so how great is that for you as a Long Island kid to be fighting in the Coliseum? That's pretty cool.
Yeah, this is really cool, man. I mean, I grew up in Baldwin, so not too far from there. And then I went to Nassau Community College, which is right next to Nassau Coliseum. Then went over to Hofstra, which is right there.
You don't move much.
Me too. I don't move much. I haven't got out.
Was Hofstra still the... Were they the Dutchman when you went? No, the Pride.
We were the Pride.
That sucked.
I was like right... Yeah.
I was a Dutchman.
I mean, I think either way it sucked. Right. I don't know if Dutchman is something to get too excited about either, but... I don't know. The colors are all right. The lion looked cool. But, I was always right by it. I mean, I grew up as an Islander fan, too.
Nice.
So, I had memories of really going to the stadiums and watching, you know, sports. It was, was Nassau Coliseum. You know,
Toffee and Turgeon.
Pierre Turgeon, Ben Waho, Glenn Healy. Those are my people. And then they made the trade. I stopped playing hockey, and then I kind of stopped watching. But I'm still... I hate the Rangers. I'm an Islander guy.
Right.
And I told the owners of the Rangers that they wanted to have me go to a Rangers game. I'm like, I'm not going to a Rangers game. That's one thing I'll stick to, even though I don't really watch anymore.
We have Jim Brewer is a friend of the show. He comes in all the time. Mm-hmm. And he started doing this rock band thing that he's doing. Jim Brewer and the Loud and Rowdy. I said, okay, Jim, what's the dream? He goes, the Coliseum. He goes, the dream is sold out, Nassau Coliseum, F the Garden, F this. He's like, it's about coming back home because he's a Valley Stream boy.
Yeah.
And it's all about playing the Coliseum. Yes. And I got to think for you, it's got to be the same deal.
This is the dream, man. This really is. There's no other place in the world I'd rather be than Nassau Coliseum. Jim Brewer, I just did a TV show with him with Kevin James. He was a priest.
He's a priest, right?
Yeah.
He's a good priest.
I was like the perfect cop
who
was just better than everybody at everything. And Jim Brewer is just the hysterical priest. He's the perfect fit for a priest.
That whole crew that's on that show, how much did you laugh while you shot that show?
Oh, it was ridiculous. I mean, my first episode I got cut out, so we don't remember that one. But the second one I was on was with Adam Sandler, Kevin James, Jim Brewer.
Right.
I'm like, this is ridiculous. I'm like, it was my first time really acting. It was a lot of...
How did you get that?
So I became friends with Kevin James. So he's an MMA fan. He was back in the day, and about like 4 or 5 years ago, he came down to my gym, and, you know, him being a Long Island guy, mm-hmm. you know, he was watching me and wanted to meet me. And next thing I know, we've been really close friends for a while now. And
that's awesome.
He was like, you know, you're a very talented actor. You know, we should put you on a TV show. And he saw greatness.
Don't forget my stunning good looks, Kevin.
Exactly. So they gave me some good parts.
How did that line up when he cut you out of the first show? How did that feel to get cut out of the first show? What is that like?
You know, I got paid. It worked out better because the first, it was for the pilot I was in. Man, it was like a small part. I had like two lines. I was all nervous. And I didn't get cut out because I sucked. I got cut out because, I don't know, the part didn't like make sense. They had to like trim it and for editing. But if I didn't get cut out of that, I wouldn't have had the character that they gave me, which is like a recurring role. So it was it's better off. I was like a different name, and yeah, it was better off.
Do you remember your lines from the when you finally?
I don't remember my lines
the
day of. How am I gonna? Yeah, actually, I kind of do. You know. You know, what's his name? Gary Valentine, his brother.
Yeah.
He was dressed up as like an old lady, and I had to like basically just tell him, don't cross the road. I was like, you know, stopping traffic or something. That was it. But
just be a cop.
I was a cop there, man. Yes, exactly. It was very tough. I was very tough.
This dude you're fighting, Kelvin Gastelum, does he have any idea the home field advantage you have?
I did tell him. So I saw him. We just did a press conference. He's a really nice guy. I've known him for a while. When I saw him, I'm like, hey man, this the Nassau Coliseum thing, this is gonna be fun. He was like, oh yeah, like doesn't care at all.
Right, obviously,
where he's fighting. Yeah. Usually, you know, wherever we fight, like who cares about the venue? For me, I'm like, man, this is gonna be sick, man. You have no idea. I don't know. I'm guessing I'm gonna have the home field advantage. My Long Island people better be cheering for me. Otherwise, I'm moving to the South. Finally, I'm gonna listen to everybody. Save some money.
Are they telling you to get out? Are they people tell you what?
No, like anytime I travel, I've been traveling like 7 years for the past 7 years, like all over the the world pretty much. And every time, especially in the beginning, I'd leave and you see how much these people are paying for taxes and you know how much their houses are and what they're getting and. Mm-hmm. This is crazy. What are we doing living in New York? And then as I started traveling more, you realize how special New York is, man. You can't beat the food and the people.
Right.
I don't think I'm leaving. And my family's here. I don't think I'm going anywhere.
You got three little ones. How old are they?
Yeah, 7, 4, and 1.
Is it getting more? Oh, especially with a one-year-old. It's got to be getting more and more difficult to
leave.
And
I got a dog. That's probably the hardest. My wife doesn't want to help at all. Morning, my alarm clock didn't go off. And next thing I know, my wife was like, what time were you supposed to leave? And it was 7. And I had the car was already outside.
Right.
And I'm like, are you freaking kidding me? So I get up, and I just had got my dog back because I did all the travel. My wife won't wash the dog by herself. It was like an agreement we had when we got the dog. I wanted the dog, she didn't.
Right.
Your dog, you do everything. I have nothing to do with it. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, yeah. But I'm thinking when we finally get the dog, she's going to start helping a little bit. Like, it's going to change.
Chance, huh?
There's like a contract. She won't budge. So I don't know.
What kind of dog? Is it like a big dog?
No, I got a golden doodle. I met her in the middle. She didn't want shedding, you know. I don't know. It's just,
dude, you're a UFC fighter.
Yeah, I wanted a pit bull or
a golden doodle.
I wanted a German shepherd. Yeah, man, I get rocked at home.
You know
man.
That golden doodle
I get
represents
beat up.
Yeah. Marriage,
yeah. Pretty much. Yeah, like
compromise.
Yeah, if it's a compromise.
Yeah, right. I think you lost that one solid.
Yeah. So the dog is now. I couldn't even let the dog outside. So I'm telling my kids. I'm telling my 4-year-old to let the dog outside. I got work going on. I got like people working in the backyard.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think the dog ran outside, started just following people out the front yard.
Tell me the golden doodle's got a cool name.
Mason. You tell me if that's cool. I don't think it's... I mean, you're thinking of like Thor or something.
Something to recoup from the
you want
to
actually, you want
to
know how bad it is? You know why Mason came along? Because my 1-year-old, we were going to... My wife was obsessed with naming my 1-year-old Mason. And I'm like, not feeling it. We went with Colton. I don't know if you like either
right,
one of them,
no,
but
cool.
We went with Colton,
so
and
the dog
that was kind of my thing. And then now the dog that she doesn't even want is named the kid that
she wanted.
Yeah. So
I got to tell you, you're a champion of the ring. You're losing at home a lot.
Yeah.
You lose more than I do.
Bro, I've never won. I'm completely just defeated. I'm a broken man. And we've been together since high school, so it's never... That's why I fight.
You married your high school sweetheart?
Yeah.
That's cool.
All right, more with UFC fighter Chris Weidman coming up. Long Island guy from Baldwin, and a lot of stories to tell and questions to ask you for sure. But right now, let's check on the roads with Tim.
Right now, North Ocean Avenue.
102.3 WBAB, Long Island's only classic rock. Roger and JP, it's 8:23. Very happy to have Chris Weidman in the studio. UFC Fight Night will be happening at the Coliseum July 22nd. And I mean, it's called former UFC middleweight champion, but once you win it, don't you have a little bit of that status of I'm still
you're the champion?
You're not the second, but aren't you always a champion because you won it?
I think so. You know, I think you think of all these boxers that were champions. You know, they're still champ,
right?
So I'll take it. I think I'm still champ. Call me champ.
When you're getting,
I like it.
When you're getting into a ring, do you look at the odds? Do you ever look at and see what
I do? I do. I'm a little bit of a gambler, so I do. With my odds, I don't go crazy with. I'm not betting on myself.
Right.
I don't bet against myself.
Right.
That'd be illegal.
Do you get insulted by the odds ever?
I'm just like sometimes I'm like, wow, they're really off this time.
When you
and that's when I tell people, that's when when to bet.
What were the odds when you got in with Anderson Silva?
Not bad. So. When I fought Anderson Silva, just to give a little backstory on him because it's been a while, but he was He was undefeated for like ever. Right. He dominated everybody he fought. And then I was his up and comer. I was only 9-0, and I was going to be fighting the greatest of all time.
Right. Mm.
But I already had such a this like this vibe. Everyone was talking about me within the MMA scenes. So like all the other fighters, there was a buzz. Yeah, I think the word I'm looking
for. Some momentum going.
So like all the fighters that seen me train and stuff like that, they're like, I don't know, this guy could be the one who beat could beat Anderson Silva, and I was coming off some really nice wins. So people were like, I think he could do it, because they saw like with my wrestling and my submission game, I've accomplished a lot with those two things. They thought that would be the blueprint to beat Anderson Silva, even though I ended up knocking him out. But on the odds were like maybe 2-1. It was like I think you might have been like -200 or you know.
Have you ever told your friends? Bet on
me. Every time.
I got this.
They're like, bro, you better win, man. I'm like,
isn't that how they all are, bro?
Yeah.
Bro, don't lose this. My kids ain't going to college.
No pressure. Worldwide stage, but it's about their bet. Yeah. Right. Their $100.
The thing is, it doesn't add any extra pressure on me at all, so they can tell me anything they want.
By the way, you can watch Chris Weidman on Facebook Live. We've got it going in the studio here. If you want to watch everything as we talk to Chris, you can do that on 102.3 WBAB on Facebook.
Your friends, are they the guys you grew up with?
Yeah, I've a lot of my friends are.
Yeah, that's
a lot of my friends are starting to move out. Like, you know, like a lot of kids from Baldwin. Yeah. Slowly but surely, it's like, mm-hmm. where are they at now? And they're just like, you know, moving.
Well, you moved to
out,
another town. I mean, it happens.
Yeah,
you guys
no,
grow
but
up.
I'm talking about some people move out Long Island.
Oh, right.
Leaving, just moving from town to town in Long Island. That would even say leaving at this point. That would be staying true to where you're from. But a lot of my friends are from my hometown.
Right.
And if not, like one of my best friends now, John Vellante, he's my main training partner. He went to MacArthur High School. We wrestled in high school with each other. He went to Hofstra. I went to Hofstra. So,
you're in a circle of the ones that you grew up with.
Yeah. I got the same.
Do you have an entourage?
Friends.
Like when you're in the fight game, like you must. How many people you have around you? Like 8 people.
Sometimes it's crazy. Sometimes it gets a little crazy.
It seems
in the New York thing now. And I got a lot of people that, you know, I want to bring with me to different things. You know, they've been around me my whole life, and I wanted them to share in the experience with me of, you know, seeing these, you know, cool things. And so I invite.
So when you walk out to a fight, it's not just the useful people around you. Like your trainer and your, like there's actually some people there who are maybe wearing your colors or whatever it is, but they're just happen to be a friend of yours. So it's like emotional thing.
No, I don't do that. I'm not that crazy.
Okay.
So in boxing, you could like, less rules. And because you're inside the UFC, there's more rules. You only could have 3 cornermen, and you can't just have people in the locker room just to hang out with you and stuff like that. You know, I broke the rules a couple times. This fight, when you're main event, you get 4 people in your corner.
Okay.
So I've had, like, one of my people that I have in my corner is just a friend, but so he kind of just shuts up the whole time.
Right.
I've had my dad in my corner.
He's Paulie.
It's just like you're not listening to him for advice, but he's like a comfort zone.
Right.
You know,
right.
people that are there. So.
Yeah. What's a worst injury you've had? I mean, you've done. I mean, Chris has done everything. I mean, looking at the titles you've had and the wrestling and jiu-jitsu and obviously the UFC and all these things you've had. Like, what's the To me, it doesn't seem like you've had like your leg snapped or something like that. Have you had anything like that?
I've had a lot of. I've definitely been through a lot. I mean, I've had every type of surgery you could think of.
Oh, man.
Let me try to think.
This is every fighter's story.
I've had neck surgery, but honestly, that wasn't that bad. Leading up to the neck surgery was miserable for 3 weeks. The pain, that cervical pain. Anybody who deals with that,
I'm dealing with it now.
I feel for you, man.
It's
the worst, man.
It sucks.
Unbearable. I mean, you got
and that came from fighting.
That came out of nowhere. Wrestling. Nothing even happened for that. I woke up in the morning, my neck was hurting, which happens plenty of times. And you know, you kind of like go through the day and it loosens up and you feel better. Oh, it didn't loosen up. It got worse and worse and worse. I went in for the epidurals, 2 epidurals,
so did I.
Injection. Did nothing.
Did nothing.
Oh. And then so I'm like, that was actually for my rematch for the title after my first loss. I was supposed to be fighting Rockhold again, and then Bisping jumped in and took my spot on 2 weeks' notice because I couldn't continue.
When you heard Silva's leg snap, what was that?
I didn't know his leg broke at the time. I thought he was just in a lot of pain because the way this worked is if you watch my first fight with Anderson Silva, you know, I ended up knocking him out in the second round. But before that, the only thing he actually connected on me with was leg kicks, like multiple leg kicks. I was My leg was killing me for a couple weeks after that fight.
Wow.
So leading up into the second fight, we had an instant rematch. The main thing was like, all right, listen, you know he's going to come back with leg kicks because it worked for him. So we worked defending leg kicks like crazy.
It didn't work that much. You knocked him out.
It worked. Like, it was going to be a 5-round fight. If I don't knock him out, those leg kicks add up. You don't want right. Leg kicks suck, man. So he ends up trying to... In the second fight, what ended up happening, he tries to leg kick me for the first time in the whole fight in the second round, and I check it for the first time. You know, basically you bring your knee up and put your knee on his shin, and it hurts him. And
makes him think
really
twice about doing it again.
It's like, hey, don't be kicking me.
Right.
And then I saw him for the first time. He was always really good setting up his leg kicks, you know, with the hands. You get people, you know, the sport's all about deception. You want people to be confused and then surprise them. And I think he acted on emotion. It was the first time. It was the only thing that I ever worked for him against me, and I stopped it. And now he was like, "I'm going to kick you even harder," and just not even set it up. And then that's what happened. He all of a sudden he just cranked as hard as he could into this leg kick, and I was just sort of coming a mile away. I pick up my knee and put it right back on that shin, and boom. And if you do this like in sparring with guys having shin pads on, you know they might take a seat for like 2-3 minutes in pain.
All right.
That's kind of what I was thinking happened. Mm-hmm. He's in so much pain. He's just like, "I'm done." And so I do my little run around the octagon, like, yeah, I won. And then I come back. As I circle back around, I hear like someone's being murdered type of screaming. And I'm like, what the hell? I'm like, damn, that must have hurt. And I look, I go to check on him, and his leg is literally just hanging. He's just, you know, it's in two pieces.
Oh, that's and, horrible.
That was bad. Then I'm like, man, am I not supposed to be happy now? This, yeah, I felt bad for.
I like that you say what's going on in your head as you do this.
I'm like, damn. So the smile has to come off.
That's it. I'm not so happy. I won. I'm sad. I won.
Yeah, I know.
Do you guys ever talk during that fight? Did you guys does that happen? Like, did you and Silver, for example, say anything during a fight when you get close? You're like, hey, don't try to kick me again.
Well, no,
you
know, no.
Anything like that, or you ever try to dominate with thoughts?
He was the type of guy who was talking a lot when we fought. That was kind of that was his thing. He would like to talk, and I was the type of guy who was like, you say anything you want, I'm just going to keep trying to punch you in the face. It's not going to like mentally deter me.
Chris Weidman, our special guest. We'll get more with Chris in just a second. Right now, Ted's got to look at the roads.
Fog mist this morning, been causing some issues with the poor visibility on the roads this morning. We've had a few.
102.3 WBAB, Long Island's only classic rock. Roger and JP, it's 8:40. Our special guest this morning, UFC fighter Chris Weidman, who is from Baldwin, but lives in Dix Hills now.
Yeah.
Has a family.
It's so embarrassing. The police think that.
But he hasn't always wanted to be a fighter. I mean, you were a big-time wrestler in college and all that stuff. But tell everybody what your dream was and what you did to get there.
So I grew up, I played every sport growing up, but my passion was actually hockey. I loved hockey. I wanted to be an amateur hockey player. That was it. You know, I was a huge Islander fan. And but my parents couldn't afford ice hockey in starting in seventh grade. You know, it was pretty much threw you into like the free sports.
What was your hockey number?
I was 77.
Ooh, watch this.
17.
Do your thing. Give him a goal.
Give him a goal.
Give him a goal.
Please, let's hear it.
Give him a goal.
Yes.
Give him a goal.
All right.
Break at the horns and everything ready.
No.
We're going to give you a goal. Like, you scored a goal for the Islanders.
Yes. This is my dream come true.
All right. Here we go. Islander goal, scored by number 77, his 45th of the season, Chris Weidman.
And the crowd goes,
that
wild.
Is awesome, man. That voice is, like, amazing. Yeah.
Can you imagine that? Yeah. Too bad that never happened.
Yeah. So that was
that's not real? Where am I?
So that was your dream, but tell everybody what you did, because it's pretty cool. Like, everybody dreams about it, but nobody does what you did.
Yeah, so, I mean, starting in seventh grade, I started playing all the other, you know, the sports, football, lacrosse, wrestling, more, you know, that was my kind of number one thing. But basically, fast forward, 2008, I'm trying out for Olympic trials. This is after, like, college wrestling and everything. And I got injured before the trials, so I was pretty much at a crossroads. I was getting my master's degree and like trying to figure out what I'm going to do for the rest of my life, and I didn't want to get a real job. So it was either going to be MMA, which I started kind of playing with. I started doing jiu-jitsu a little bit because I was helping out some fighters with their wrestling, and I started kind of, you know, thinking maybe that would be good for me. But I felt like I had the mindset at athletic ability, and I already accomplished a lot with wrestling, that I would be able to transform transfer it over to like whatever I wanted. And for me, my goal was always to play hockey. And
so like
I
wanted winning to be, attitude and mentality.
Yeah, I felt like I could do it. And so I had met some Islanders at this point. I'm like, I could play with these guys.
So at this point, you haven't played hockey since sixth grade.
Since I was 12 years old.
But he was great, JP. Like, he was amazing.
I was 24. And by the way, let's go backwards. When I did play hockey, I was a stud. I was unbelievable. I had the record. I still own the record for the most goals in Baldwin, PA.
Oh, so, that hockey hotbed.
Exactly. Baldwin, there's Quebec. Nothing but hockey studs from there, you know, Baldwin Park. But anyway, so I'm like, you know what? I think I could be on the Islanders. So I was going to try out for the Islanders. So I went. I had no money at the time. I was living in my parents' basement with my wife, and we were broke as a joke. And I went and took out a credit card for $1,000 and went down. You know, hockey equipment is expensive, but I had to like have legit stuff. I'm going to play for the Islanders. So I bought all like, you know, this stuff, all the, you know, the skates and everything. And I went down to the rink, and there happened to be high school kids playing hockey. So I jump on. I'm like, all right, this is going to come easy. I used to be so good. I used to be the fastest on the rink. I used to, you know, my wrist shot was so accurate. My slap shot was freaking hard as hell. I jump on there. I literally was having trouble skating.
So you're how old at this kids, point?
I'm like college, 24.
24.
Yeah.
High school kids?
These kids were just clowning me. I couldn't do anything. My slaps, I couldn't shoot anymore. I was just terrible. I'm like, I guess this is not going to happen. So then I got into MMA.
How long were you on the ice? Like 45 minutes?
I didn't play that long.
$1,000?
I was broken. I was mentally broken. I was like, it would have took me a long time to be able to even get like decent again.
Nobody was telling you.
I wasn't the kid I used to be.
Right, but nobody's in your head, your parents, your wife, nobody's like, Chris. What,
you know what? You know, they're very supportive. They were like, you know.
They're brainwashed.
That's how good I was at hockey when I was in sixth grade. In kindergarten through sixth grade. They were like, you know.
You were sick, bro.
He was a phenom, so maybe he will just be able to, like, be Pierre Turgeon. I don't know. But it didn't happen.
When you had your first loss, I read an article about. It killed you. The losing the fight sucked, but explaining it to your kids was even worse.
Yeah.
And I read that article. I'm like, you know, I couldn't put myself in your shoes, obviously, because I've never done it. But what was it that made it so difficult?
You know, my kids, since they were born, I never lost in anything. I was undefeated fighter. I was undefeated in jiu-jitsu. So I was just... Hmm. I was the father that was, I was Superman. I never lost. It was impossible to lose, and I wasn't going to lose. You know, I was going to be undefeated forever. That was the thing.
Right.
I knew that. So after my first loss, you know, they don't watch the fights. They're pretty young. You know, I got a 7-4 and a 1-year-old. The 1-year-old wasn't around when this happened. But so they didn't watch that night. The next morning, you know, my wife didn't tell them what happened yet, but they're all excited to see me. They're thinking, of course, Daddy won again.
Mm-hmm.
And when they wake up, I was actually a little beat up that day. You know, my face was beat up, but that happens even when you
win
sometimes.
They can handle that?
Yeah, they can handle that. They see me, like right now, I got like a little shiner right here. But
it's nothing.
So they asked, Daddy, you won, but how'd it go? And I had to be like, oh, no, actually, this time I lost, son. It was definitely heartbreak. It was definitely a tough one for them to. It was way harder for me. For them, they were like, attention span on to the next thing. They were good.
But your ego took the hit.
My ego. I'm like, man, it sucks to tell them. You know, it did suck to do that for sure.
Wow. Jesus.
Way to bring it down, bro.
Sorry, man.
can we talk about the Islanders
only
again?
Only because
I
want to score a goal again, please.
Listen, you sucked at hockey. What can I tell you?
I was good at one point, bro.
But in sixth grade, you got all the records, and that's all that matters.
Unbelievable.
That was
cool.
That was the best.
Dude, this was a good time, man.
Yeah, really good.
I appreciate you guys having me on.
Yeah,
it was
no
awesome
problem.
Being on Long Island Station, man.
And listen,
to the city.
We got to get out in numbers July 22nd at the Coliseum.
Guys, please.
Right.
You gotta sell this thing out, or otherwise I look really bad.
Right.
Please, don't do this to me, Long Island. I love you.
What I want to see happen is, like, you know, Kelvin Gastelum goes into the ring first, and then all of a sudden they call you out, and that place just goes ballistic, to the point where that Kelvin guy's looking at his corner like, what the f***? What did I get myself into?
That's what I want too, man. Right. I just got chills you saying it. So, Long Island, we got to show up, man. Let's do this.
Special BAB pre-sale starts tomorrow morning at 10. Use the BAB offer code WBAB at Ticketmaster.com. Get the tickets for July 22nd. Chris will be, of course, the headline fight.
And this is the first ever.
Yeah,
right?
first ever
fight in Nassau Coliseum.
So cool.
Headlined by yours truly.
Right.
It's a dream come true.
It's got to be.
You got to hang out more. You're fun.
Yeah.
I like it.
Yeah.
He's huge in Brazil. Can't walk down the street. But here, he's a Long Island guy, regular guy. Yeah, that's a good thing.
I'm like,
that's
New York. People like just kind of know me.
Yeah, that's New York.
I'll tell you one thing. Anywhere I've ever even been, the place I get recognized the least and like stop the least is New York City.
Because they don't care.
Everyone is just on to the next. They're just focused on what they got to do. It's amazing. Even if I'm in places I know get recognized, I don't feel like getting stopped, I put my head down a little bit. In New York, I can eye contact everybody. Right. They're like, what are you looking at?
the hell are you looking at?
Yeah, exactly. It's one of those things.
Chris Weidman, everybody, thanks for being here. And here's Ted.
Right now in Farmingville, we continue to deal with an accident we had on North Ocean Avenue. That one now has been cleared away, by the way. The LIE westbound into Comac Road at exit 52. An accident there. Also one on the Seaford Oyster Bay Expressway north.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.